this time, I will ask Mr. Robertson to introduce our next item.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. We're moving to item 10. Item 10, resolution number R3-2018-0052, is the termination of waste discharge requirement permits and enforcement orders related to 25 septic system discharges in Los Osos. These listed properties have connected to the new sewer system and have thus ceased discharging via on-site septic system. The termination of these orders culminates more than a 30-year investment by staff and Central Coast Water Board members to deal with the groundwater impacts from Los Osos septic system discharges. Waste discharge requirement staff member John Rocky will present this item.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. My name is John Rocky. I'm the staff person responsible for discharges to land in San Luis Obispo County. This morning I'm presenting resolution R3-2018-0052, which will terminate waste discharge requirements and enforcement orders that have accumulated over the years for properties discharging from septic tank systems in the Los Osos septic prohibition zone. The last time this board took a similar action, terminating a batch of 37 cease and desist orders for properties in the Los Osos area was back in September of 2014. All of those cease and desist orders were issued in 2006. This resolution will terminate the remaining water board orders for addresses within the prohibition zone, including 16 individual waste discharge requirement orders, two enrollments in a general order 00-12, and 23 enforcement orders, both cease and desist orders and cleanup and abatement orders. Termination of these orders will bring to a close this facet of the more than 30-year effort to discourage discharges from septic tanks in the Los Osos area. All of the properties affected by these terminations are now connected to the Los Osos Municipal Collection System. This first map shows where Los Osos is located with respect to the rest of San Luis Obispo County, just to orient us. This map shows Los Osos septic prohibition area. That is outlined in red here. I'm getting close to people with the laser here. So that's the prohibition zone outlined in red. It defines the area inside which discharges from septic tank systems were prohibited by this board in 1988. The deep red outline, the outermost outline, is the urban reserve line. And these two blue areas represent, this is the Martin Tract area, this is the Bayview Heights area. These are areas that were not subject to the prohibition but are regulated via General Order 00-12 for discharges of septics in that area. The municipal sewer system does not extend to these areas, mainly due to the economics of extending sewer lines into low-density areas. So these were a couple of carve-out areas. These icons show the locations of the properties with either waste discharge requirements or enforcement orders, or both, that the resolution will terminate today. These two green icons down in the bottom of the Martin Tract area here were properties that were enrolled in the general order for the Martin Tract, but because of their proximity to the sewer line when it came along, they chose to hook up of their own volition. So we're unenrolling them from our order at this time. San Luis, San Luis Obispo County staff recently informed us of connection statistics, as they do on a monthly basis, and most recently stated that just over 97% of the 4,582 total properties required to connect to the collection system have now done so. The County Board of Supervisors amended the county's code in September this year to clarify the authorities available to county staff and the county's comprehensive enforcement program for compelling the few remaining non-responsive properties to hook up to the collection system. This is a copy of Attachment A to the staff report on this item. It's a list of all the properties and addresses that will be affected by the termination of these orders. The WDRs that were being terminated today began back in 1985 and most recently in 1999, I believe, were some of the enforcement orders. There are two residences and four public facilities, the library, fire station, park, and the water district yard, that have only enforcement orders associated with them. They're down at the bottom of the list here, and you can see the third column is blank for those. They don't have waste discharge requirement orders, only enforcement orders. So the resolution before you this morning represents a real milestone in the multi-decade effort to reduce nitrogen discharges to groundwater in the Los Osos area. Many of you know the history of this effort much better than I do, but it's my good fortune to be able to participate in the completion of this portion of the efforts that so many staff here have worked on over the years. And finally, as I open it up for questions, I would like to leave you with this great aerial photo of the new Los Osos wastewater recycling facility. I may have been in the wastewater game too long, but I think this is like one of the most beautiful photos I've ever seen of a wastewater plant. it's just gorgeous, and it's running well, and what a setting. You can see Morro Rock up in the background there, and it's great. So with that, I would open it up to your questions.
And also, you know, we do have a special guest today to address the board on this event and beautiful picture. So I would like to introduce, although no need to really introduce, a very familiar face, our San Luis Obispo County Supervisor, Mr. Bruce Gibson. So you have a mic.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and good morning to members of this board. I can't tell you how delighted I am to stand before you today. As we near the end of an extraordinarily long and arduous journey, I am also delighted to stand before you today with this picture up. You know, Mr. Rocky is right. This is the most beautiful wastewater plant in the state of California, if not, in fact, in the contiguous 48 states, the United States of America. I was struck about the length of this journey as you introduced your new staff, many of whom weren't born when this started. And I reflect further on the most recent phase of this, the chapter of this started in 2007, when the County of San Luis Obispo took the project back under the auspices of Assembly Bill 2701. It's been an extraordinary journey since then. And I want to thank your board. I want to thank your staff for the partnership that you have engaged with the county and your ability to work with other agencies. And they are too numerous to mention within any kind of reasonable time. You referenced the Coastal Commission, obviously a major player. But we have here a wastewater facility that has no ocean outfall. And you can see the Pacific Ocean in the background, all water reused, recycled. I'm particularly pleased to stand here in support of your staff's recommendation to terminate the remaining individual cease and desist orders. As longtime members of this board know, their imposition in 2006 was met with no small amount of outrage and controversy. I understand their place in the overall regulatory scheme of things. But to be able to stand here today on the verge of your taking action to terminate them is really quite satisfying, and of course, I'm here in full support. If I might amplify just briefly on a couple of statistics Mr. Rocky presented in your staff report, I will tell you I'm here very fortunate to have our Deputy Director of Public Works, Mark Hutchinson, with us as along with Rosalind Pisa, who's our staff member on the front line of the connection issues here. At latest count, we are over 97% connected. That leaves about 144 properties yet to go. Of those, 65 have been enrolled in one form or another of our low-income assistance program, and we had been holding off on those connections as we arranged what financial aid we can. The Los Osos Community Services District continues to work with a small fund they have to help those who otherwise are not eligible, but we're working on those 65. We also then have 79 where we don't really quite know why they aren't connected yet. Some of it may be simple willfulness. Some of it is an inability to actually contact those property owners. But as Mr. Rocky referenced, the board has put in place what we consider a tiered enforcement approach that starts with, I would call it, a very polite letter, and then can escalate into the full force and authority of the county to compel connection. And again, your support of your staff and your board is of great interest. So with that, again, let me thank you and thank your staff for bringing this recommendation forward. While I have the lectern, let me just indicate you probably haven't seen the last of me for a while. As your chair indicated, there are other waste. Turns out there are other wastewater plants in my district, and I don't know how I have the good fortune to be so involved in them one way or another. But as you know, Cayuga Sanitary District, in fact, next week will start moving dirt on their new plant. City of Morro Bay is in process of design that will eventually come to the county for permitting. The Little San Simeon Community Services District is in a permit process with the Coastal Commission, which is going to require them eventually to move their plant off the beach where it sits. And the Cambria Community Services District has its issues with water and wastewater. You know, that's a wonderful thing about job security for the second district supervisor. There's always a wastewater plant somewhere that can use our help. And with that, I thank you for the opportunity to address you, sir.
You're very welcome. And, you know, you got that district because you're so special. So, but I was going to say also that, you know, in addition to our staff support, you know, I reflected on this project, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is basically the first major water treatment project that the county took on the responsibility. Yes. So you morphed your public works into also the general engineering hat of building a water treatment plant and having all the responsibility of a project. And I think that's pretty significant, because
if you would allow me, Mr. Chairman, to brag on our Public Works Department. It was an extraordinary effort that started in 2007. Our Public Works team, a core group of four or five at that point, which eventually grew to a few more, took a unique approach to this. In approaching the community, we realized that the engineering of a wastewater plant, and no offense to the engineers in the office, but this is not the biggest issue. A lot of guys, a lot of people can engineer a sewer treatment plant. What was key was to get the community's buy-in. And in 2007, we went forward with an extraordinary assessment. I think it's worth reviewing this history, where each single family home was assessed $25,000. And other assessments for other types of connectors in the community. That assessment passed with 80% support. And the next year we came back with our rates and charges, which was a protest hearing, but had less than 15% opposition. And so in doing that, we knew we were on the right path. And then the other work was to engineer a proper plant in a very constrained, this is as beautiful as it is, this is also constrained by environmentally sensitive areas. And to get the permits through the Coastal Commission and get the financing, an extraordinary financing. We actually have an average monthly bill that is less by some 20% or more than what was projected in 2005 when the CSD was bringing this forward. So there are a tremendous number of people in our county staff who've done outstanding work, and I add to my thanks with that.
Thank you. Always good to see you, Supervisor Gibson. And as you know, I was chair at the time that we began the enforcement proceedings. And at that time, I had a full head of dark hair. And by 2010, I was reduced to the person that you see here today, thin, gray, but I'm still holding on to what's left.
You look great, sir. I want you to know that.
All kidding aside, I've got some questions, you know, real questions for you, because I haven't followed this.
We haven't engaged on this topic for a while.
Yeah. I've tried to distance myself from it over the years. So when I saw this come up on the agenda, it was like something just kind of pops up out of nowhere.
Was it a flashback, sir?
Again?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, is groundwater sampling continuing in the area? Because I'm really curious to know whether we're going to see an improvement after this tremendous effort.
Absolutely. Actually, Mark, can I borrow your, I don't know if you have overhead projection capability here, but to answer your question directly, yes. It's a condition of our permit with the Coastal Commission to continue ground and surface water monitoring. A related effort, as you may know, is the Los Osos Basin Management Committee. So aside from the wastewater plant, we know we have a groundwater basin that has been in overdraft. It is subject to adjudication, so it's formally exempt from SGMA. But we're engaging essentially a SGMA equivalent process with a series of work plans, bringing together the three water purveyors in the community and the county as a team. And as I think you also know, the real issue here was saltwater intrusion, seawater intrusion. As the upper aquifer polluted by the septic discharges, the lower aquifer was overpumped, sucking in seawater. And through modeling the basin and instituting these various work plans of shifting, pumping, and doing other infrastructure issues, we have attacked seawater intrusion. The red line, I can pass this around, the red line is the what we call the chloride metric. That's an overall basis, an overall measure of the amount of chloride in the aquifer. And you can see starting in a year that will require my glasses, starting in 1980, you know, it's down here at about 30, 40, 50 milligrams per liter. And over the years, heading up to 2015, you can see the spike that it achieved right there. Since we have implemented the wastewater project and the basin management efforts, you can see a precipitous drop in the chloride metric. We have the most recent data point here, which shows continued decline even in a very dry year. Some of this, we are blessed with at least average rainfall, but I think our efforts are clearly paying off. And again, with your permission, Mark, we can pass this around. So.
And Mr. Gibson, how about the nitrate levels in the groundwater aquifer?
Yeah, I'll let Mark speak to that. Those have not has had a dramatic change.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Mark Hutchinson, Deputy Director, San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works. In the same annual report that the Basin Management Committee produces, we saw last year's report, which would have been the 2016 year, an increase in nitrates in the lower aquifers, which was troubling, but being across the board, I've been talking to some of our lab folks about who prepared those reports and what's going on. This year, those numbers dropped again back to the trend previous. What is interesting is this year's upper aquifer nitrate numbers across the board are dramatically higher. And that is a matter of quite a bit of discussion at the Basin Management Committee and among the various staffs. Certainly one year's number, as we've learned over the years, is not determinative. Monitoring will continue, of course, for decades. So we're looking at trends and also talking to different experts on exactly what sort of conditions might be the cause of that. In my position as a deputy director, I've honestly seen a lot of lab reports. We do have our own county water lab. We don't do the testing for this particular situation. And frankly, over the years, I've become very familiar with something called a lab error. And we may be looking at that. So again, it's going to have to be a trend analysis to see what's happening.
And how often are you sampling for nitrate?
They sample twice a year during a very narrow window in a specific set of monitoring wells. Mm-hmm. That's for the groundwater monitoring. And by the way, speaking of monitoring, there's an entirely separate set of monitoring wells specific to the wastewater project and our discharge site up at Broderson, tracking where that water is going subsurface. None of those numbers on water quality are unusual or unexpected, however.
And how many samples have you had for nitrate? How many nitrate samples have you done since the system has been operational?
We started connections in 2016, I believe. So there's been one full round.
Two samples, 1 year of sampling?
Yeah, two samples, okay. Essentially.
And then where is your recycled water being used? Is it going to be, is it injected so that that's what is pushing back the seawater intrusion?
No, what we have, the project was permitted through the Coastal Commission with a full suite of recycled water sites. The intent is to do in-lieu irrigation. That's a combination of agriculture sites outside the urban area, and then school turf sites, a golf course, and a community park within the town. We do have four ag users under contract, but only one followed through with the information necessary to get into the recycled water permit. Mm-hmm. And he has also not followed up. Mm-hmm. Our focus at the staff level has been to connect the urban sites because that directly offsets lower aquifer pumping.
And are you able to, even in the wet year, in the wet season, able to make use of all of your recycled water?
What we do, the site has what's called the Broderson leach field in the dune area above the town, on the edge of the urban area, 8 acres of leach field there. Mm. And I might brag a little bit, over the top of it, it's been restored to some of the finest coastal dune scrub in the state. That Broderson leach field is capable of carrying the entire flow of the plant. We also put water into two former leach fields that served the Bay Ridge neighborhood. Those are all upper aquifer and perched aquifer recharge zones. It was determined that trying to treat the water to the level that we could inject it into the deep aquifer would be significantly more expensive in terms of treatment levels and also energy use. Extensive geologic work, hydrogeologic work, showed that wouldn't be the place to spend our money. So our focus is in-lieu irrigation. We have been through an interesting time in the last 18 months with that. I did a presentation at the Water Reuse Association's conference a couple of months back talking about the disparities between our goals statewide of using recycled water compared to the regulatory environment that water companies operate in. County is not a water purveyor in Los Osos. We have to work through three different water companies. They are organized in the three different categories in California, so they have three different regulatory schemes they have to operate under. And it's been a learning experience to work with them on how to get recycled water delivered to their customers. When it's being supplied by the wastewater project. Mm-hmm. I have a staff report on my desk right now with a December 11th date to take six of the 8 or 9 agreements we'll need to get water flowing to our board, holding off on one set of signatures. So we're hopeful that that first hurdle of getting all the agreements in place will be done. Then we'll be connecting Monarch Grove community to the wastewater project, abandoning their plant, and supplying a higher quality recycled water to the golf course, all in one fell swoop.
And so what's the volume, average daily volume of recycled water you're producing?
I think the plant's about, I'm looking at Roslyn, 400,000, 450,000 gallons a day.
Okay. Last question. Your ultimate enforcement capability under your ordinance provides for what? Can you force a connection and charge the property owner?
Yeah, by adopting the ordinance changes that our board did, the county now has the ability to actually go in and, with a court order, connect the properties, hire a contractor, connect the properties, put the bill on the tax bill.
Thank you very much.
Am I right?
Thank you for those questions, Mr. Young, and thank you to all of you. I don't have the breadth and depth with this project. I started working in Santa Barbara County in 2004, and every time something came up with wastewater treatment plants through the IRWM program, everyone erupted in some conversation about Los Osos. So it certainly rippled through the entire community. So that was sort of my introduction and to the whole thing. But I just wanted to congratulate you to all the staff here as well, and everyone at the county for the tremendous work that you've put. I mean, there's a lot of complexity with environmentally sensitive habitat, regulatory issues, economic issues. There's so many uphill battles, but obviously the decades of investment has brought you to an incredible place. It's obviously a stunning wastewater treatment plant. It's laudable that you are doing such a tremendous amount of reclamation, and I have a special place in my heart for wastewater treatment plants. They provide, you know, a real benefit to society, so thanks for all your work.
I live in Watsonville and had never heard of Los Osos when I joined this board 7 years ago, and now I feel like I really know that community. Yeah, congratulations. It's a real credit to the work that the county, our staff have done, and I think it's a real lesson for us as regulators too, that it's not always sufficient to figure out what logic, the law, everything else tells us needs to be done, and assume that we can simply make it so by fiat that that politics is local, and that communication with the people who are affected by our decision, whether that communication is successful or unsuccessful, really determines a lot of our outcomes. So I think there's a lot to learn from this whole experience. And I'm happy that we're through it.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. It's always good to see you, Supervisor Gibson. Thank you very much for coming here today and helping us to hear the good news and the progress. And I can attest to the fine engineering of the county public works, being a resident of Los Osos. I can tell you that they moved through the areas installing the connection system with great efficiency and incredible concern for everybody's safety and information sharing. Communication was excellent. A friendly knock on the door in the morning, we're here. So, and it went
as if you'd missed them. You know?
Yeah, right. It did go very quickly. Yeah. Much more quickly, I think, than anybody expected. So it was a marvel. And I think everyone was very pleased and very satisfied with the quality and assurances of safety, which was a big issue, you know, prior to. But I do have some questions and a couple things about the recycled use. I know you said there's some regulatory challenges with that. Is there any, I didn't hear you mention any possibilities of blending water. Is that still outside the recycled
maybe I can take a step back on that. Let me, in terms of recycled water, let me add to the answer from Mr. Young's question. Water going into the Brodesson leach field does have an effect, as there is some connection to the lower aquifer. So that recycled water does have a small direct effect on reducing seawater intrusion. In terms of blending the recycled water, no, it's tertiary treated water. And as Mark indicates, you know, direct offset of irrigation use is the most efficient way of doing that. Mm-hmm. The blending idea actually speaks to the nitrate issue, and we are completely puzzled why we should see a rise in nitrates. I expect that it's a transient that's going to get pushed down as water that's being percolated into the upper aquifer from Brodesson and other sites makes it to the monitoring sites. Right. But one of the programs in the basin management plan is to pump upper aquifer water and denitrify it to the extent that it can be blended with mm-hmm. lower aquifer water to meet drinking water standards. Mm-hmm. And that's an idea that I'm pushing very hard, because it's the most, it's got a twofer there. Mm-hmm. It's a direct offset of lower aquifer pumping on the one hand,
right.
but it's also a cleanup method for the upper aquifer. And
right.
so the cost benefit of that needs to be worked out. Mm-hmm. Who pays for that sort of thing is yet to be worked out. But I think there's great potential there to expand denitrification to a double benefit there.
Yeah, all of that speaks to the sustainability of the groundwater basin. And I don't know, is there a projection at this point? Have the projections yeah. changed for the capacity?
Safe yield.
Yeah, safe yield.
We reran the studies using our best estimates of what climate change is going to do to us into future decades, and that may have produced a small change in the number of the safe yield. And I can let Mark speak to that. He probably has it in the basin management report. What we've also seen is extraordinary conservation within Los Osos.
Yeah.
And the metric that we watch very carefully in managing that basin mm-hmm. is the fraction of the safe yield we're using. And we're right down at about 80%, which is where that's our maximum. We want to manage that basin to be using no more than 80% of safe yield, mm-hmm. and we're there right now. Mm-hmm. We expect under that scenario to see the water quality improvements that the modeling suggests will happen.
And then conservation, is that having any presenting any challenges for the operation of the plant?
Well,
I know that often is the case with wastewater systems.
And I'll let Hutchins speak to that.
I can say the plant does have flows less than what we projected as a conservation worst case, about 30% less. It's not affecting the treatment capability of the plant at all. In fact, we're able to, if you look at the picture there, the football-shaped concrete twin oxidation ditches, we're actually running just one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to run both at this time. So the major function of the plant, we've got half of it in a backup mode. I was out there 2 days ago giving a tour of the plant. I did want to mention that. Tours of this plant are available. Simply give us a contact. We can make that arrangement.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather this time of year. The nitrate levels in the recycled water are just above 2. I can tell you that as I travel around the state to different conferences, other wastewater plant operators in the coast, what's the word? Jokingly point to me and say, oh, you're that guy. You're those people. You and your no ocean outfall and your less than 3 milligrams per liter nitrogen, you know.
Yeah.
But it is possible. It's working quite well.
That is really good to hear. I know a little bit outside of the wastewater treatment project itself, but part of the basin issue, I know when I had a chance to speak with Rob Miller, it's been some time, but he had pointed out that there is associated with seawater intrusion one well that had been providing water supply, that they were he was working on a plan to fund a replacement well, mm-hmm. and move it to a better location to avoid that exacerbation of seawater intrusion. Has there been any progress with that?
There has. The basin management plan, among a host of efforts, also includes a program to shift their pumping to the east side of the basin rather than the west.
Right.
The Los Osos CSD has taken the lead role in the east side basin or east side well. They've had at least one neighborhood meeting, which will generate more because people have some private wells in there and they're concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the whole, it actually went well. People understand the different strata that wells are located in. So moving pumping to the east is progressing. As Bruce mentioned, even nitrate removal. I think Golden State has a nitrate removal system operating to see how it goes and what the costs are.
Great.
And the CSD has another well ready to construct further east than I think.
Oh, good.
We're also making progress. The CSD is in coastal permit for a new monitoring well on the west side to get a better picture of that seawater intrusion front as it's moving. So the Basin Management Committee members are doing really well with the capital investments in the Basin Management Plan.
All of that is so good to hear because it is, you know, it's interrelated, and I know wastewater project had to be treated as one component of it, and that process played out. Mm-hmm. But those other factors were certainly weighing heavy on the residents in the long-term water supply security. So I'm going to shift to one other area. I wanted to talk about the low-income assistance. I was curious of the more or less 5,000 that have been connected. Were there grants available in the early stages that people who were eager to connect and, you know, trying to find a way to move forward despite the cost, which varied, you know, depending on what your conditions. The conditions of your septic location and those kinds of things added cost. I noticed some people, unfortunately, who had their septics located in their backyard, for example, there were some of those. But was there assistance in the early stages? And then these 65 that are identified for yet to come low-income assistance, are they going to get fully funded, do you think, or is it just a proportion of the costs, and how do you see that going?
So first question, early on in the project, we looked high and low for sources of funding
right.
for any kind of connection assistance and found that what's out there was solely for people who met low-income standards,
right.
Typically 80% of the median household income. We access funds from United States Department of Agriculture and also Federal Housing and Urban Development, CDBG, Community Development Block Grant Funding, which is what we're using. What we were able to do for those who hooked up and didn't meet the low income requirements is we established a retrofit program. So on the one hand, the coastal permit requires anyone who hooks up to the sewer to have a water meter. Because we had a couple of water systems out there with no meters, and also low-flow fixtures in the house. So we had a robust rebate program for people who had to replace toilets and shower heads and whatnot. That continues. The board some time ago amended that to expand the rebate program and keep it going. So that is there. For the current folks who qualify for the low income, that pays 100% of the cost of connection.
Wow.
We have a few of those in place, and we're seeing costs, I'll say an average of about $3,000 per. We have enough money for the people on our list. We've had a few homes that have changed hands, or people's income has gone up and tripped over the line. Mm-hmm. That's where the LOCSD has a small pot of community funds and directed people back and forth to make sure, you know, that there is money.
Mm-hmm.
For the 79 or so, the silent ones, we believe that if out of the enforcement process we run across people who do qualify for low-income connection, we should have some funding at this point, depending on timing, to be able to move them into that program and get them connected.
Wow. This is all very, very encouraging and helpful to see that the community is receiving such great support. And I know that there was a great deal of stress over the whole process, so it's good to see us on the other side of that. The last thing I wanted to ask, we did have a number of people that came to this board with questions about the undeveloped parcels, which are quite a few in Los Osos. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't heard if there was any modification. My understanding was that they were going to be facing a very steep hill in trying to get a permit to put a, you know, a residence on a undeveloped parcel. Is that still the case, or is there a path for them to develop their property?
The coastal development permit for the wastewater project prohibits the county from issuing a will serve to any undeveloped property in Los Osos, so within the service area, unless and until the local coastal plan mm-hmm. Is adjusted to match the long-term water supply. Mm-hmm. So on that side, that means we need our groundwater monitoring, the work of the Basin Management Committee and the Basin Management Plan to run a sufficient amount of time that we can satisfy the Coastal Commission as to what the build-out number should be. So Coastal wants to see the general plan match the available water supply.
Right.
And as you know, Los Osos is home to an endangered species. Our county is involved in a habitat conservation plan, so the other half of that condition is that there be an HCP certified, and then the same concepts in both of those documents be brought together in the local coastal plan and approved by the Coastal Commission. All of those elements are moving. And just about everywhere I go in the coast, people ask me, how long is that gonna take? And I tell them, well, I've been here 29 years, and what I've learned is, I don't know.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
But I can tell you it's moving, which
yeah.
is good.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm glad to see there is a place on the agenda for those unfortunate folks that waited too long to start their development. Mm-hmm. I know many of them were retirement investments, and they're now it's become an inherited parcel to the next generation. Hopefully their grandchildren or maybe even sons and daughters will have the benefit of mm-hmm. having a residence in Los Osos. But in any event, it's really good news to hear so many different fronts that are being addressed by, and I understand the community has many priorities and well represented, I'm sure. I'm sure those discussions are still very intense. So thank you again for your staff and your time today, Supervisor Gibson.
So before putting this item to formal vote, which is required for this item, I'm also going to mention that, you know, I've been at the plant several times, more on the behind the scene of a typical public tour, because, you know, my little factoid about my engineering career is that also I have a general engineering license in the state of California, so I do understand water treatment plants. And in fact, I do some work in the San Diego County and Orange County in some of the plants there. So in addition to, you know, the beautiful picture, actually, as an engineer, when you look at the facility, it's state of the art. You know, there is no cutting corner on this project, and you know, no the issues of funding, financing. You know, it's easy to fall in the path of trying to fall in the trap of value engineering, which often actually gets misinterpreted to value elimination. but
corner cutting.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, you didn't fall for that. So I have to say that also from a building design and mechanical and electrical infrastructure. This is, you know, state of the industry.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the upcoming challenges with some of the other water treatment plants, you know, within your district. And I think with the experience that the county has gained with this project, there's a lot of portability for you to become, you and your, you know, your staff to become a help desk of, you know, and I think maybe you want to comment on that too.
Well, absolutely. I have
consummate respect for the authorities of locally elected jurisdictions that are sub-regional to the county, the city of Morro Bay and the Community Services District. But I've made it very clear to them that to the extent we can provide support for their efforts, lacking a line item in the public works budget for support to that specific district, we're happy to do so because it's in the betterment for all. And you're right, Mr. Chairman, as you can tell, there's much work to be done in the future. To Dr. Hunter's question about our community plan, the local coastal program, we hope to have in front of the Coastal Commission by the end of 2019. And so in 2020, we'll be moving forward. Let me end, if I might, simply by reemphasizing the importance of staff and to note to you that it's virtually 100% certain that this was Mr. Hutchinson's last appearance in a formal capacity before your board as he retires from county service at the end of this year. Too young a man, really, but that is his choice, and it has been a great honor to work with him, as you can tell, heart and soul of this project as well.
So he ignored that petition to, yeah. Basically says, you know, retirement is overrated?
Yeah, well, we need a referendum process on allowing people to retire, but so thank you very much.
So, Mr. Chair, I will move for adoption of the present resolution.
I will second.
Any further comment? I see none. So, roll call, please.
Just a moment. Dr. Wolf?
Approved.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Ms. Cervantes? Mr. Delgado? Ms. Gray?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Motion unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, staff, for your help on this very important milestone. And so then that brings us to item 11, administrative updates.
So before we jump off onto that, I just want to acknowledge there's a myriad of staff outside the organization who participated in this and community residents. But I also want to come back into this organization and recognize many faces who aren't here, like Sorrel Marks and Roger Briggs and Gerhard Hubner, and you know, I miss most of them in the process that worked through those 30 years and applied a lot of their careers and a lot of their professional time and energy towards getting a resolution here, and they're not here today to see the good side of the story. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And Harvey Packard too. Mm-hmm. Who's here, one of the faces that have been a constant throughout.